This podcast is brought to you by Link, simply the best way to learn languages. After you listen to the podcast, sign up for a free account at Link, LINGQ.com, and study the full transcript using Link's revolutionary learning tools. Hi, everyone.
Mark.
Hi, Steve. Ready for another thrilling episode of English Link?
Well, yeah, and I'm very grateful to Anna. Who is there are a few people who send us questions regularly,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Absolutely.
If we're learning a language, and maybe I should do this on Russian Link, is ask questions, and I get my questions answered, and I can then record it, and it helps me on things that are important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And what was important to Anna?
Anna wrote on the forum, and she first of all always talks about triads, but we'll touch on that later.
Right.
But the three words that she has trouble with, and I assume she has trouble telling them apart or knowing when to use which one, were the three words were yell, scream, and holler.
Right.
And
I guess you could throw shout in there too.
For that matter.
Cry out.
Shriek.
Shriek, scream.
Howl.
Howl. Stop yelling at me. Stop hollering at me. Stop screaming.
Stop shrieking at
Stop
me.
Stop shrieking. Don't raise. Well, shriek is a little different.
But shriek it can suggests, be used.
Well, yeah, but shriek suggests a very high-pitched.
That's true.
Like a cat.
Yeah.
Or a bird.
Right.
Whereas yell and holler are the same.
Yell and holler. Yeah.
If you're playing golf and you're far away and you say, "Hey, George," they say, "Stop yelling on the golf course," or "Don't shout on the golf course."
However, I would say that a holler is usually directed at someone.
Uh-huh.
Whereas a yell does not necessarily directed at someone. You could just be yelling.
Well, you holler in pain. You yell in pain.
Yeah, that's true.
You scream in pain.
Well, I guess that's true. I would normally use a holler, though, in the context where I was hollering at someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hollering to get their attention,
mm-hmm.
whereas yelling, I could just be yelling swear words at the guy. I wouldn't be hollering swear words at the guy.
You know,
not that I would do that.
In the interest of avoiding splitting hairs, I would say that yell, holler, and shout are as close to being the same as can be.
Yeah, that's true.
Scream is getting closer to shriek.
Mm-hmm.
Yell suggests that you're in control.
Right.
Although you may not be. Yell in pain. Holler in pain. But scream suggests you're either in extreme pain or you're slightly emotionally, not slightly, very upset. The
right.
Screaming implies some emotional or
right.
Painful situation. Less control.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so very similar. If those are the only words that you can't tell apart in the English language. I mean, I don't see that the distinctions are that important.
No, and they're interchangeable. Like, you can... People talk about give me a holler,
mm-hmm.
as in give me a phone call.
Right.
Give me a shout.
Right.
I mean, it's the same.
We don't say give me a scream, though.
We don't say give me a scream.
We don't say give me a yell, either.
No.
That's interesting, yeah. So there are... That's a very interesting phrasal verb.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a shout. Give me a holler. Give me a call.
Right.
All mean the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It means give me a phone call.
Right.
So that's a sort of very idiomatic use.
Mm-hmm.
give me a shriek? No. No. It's interesting, you mentioned, Anna, too, used the word triad.
Yeah.
Because it's a group of three. Mm-hmm. Again, triad has a very specific meaning in English.
Mm-hmm.
It needn't have that meaning, but the meaning it has assumed
is Chinese gangs,
right.
Basically. Chinese triads. So
right.
Here, if you hear triad, that's the meaning that is assumed. So maybe in the future, Anna... call it something else. Trio.
Trio,
yeah.
is good enough.
Right.
A duo, a yeah. trio.
Right.
Is good enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting with these phrasal verbs. They often come up amongst English learners.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is concerned about learning these phrasal verbs. And I actually, because I bought all kinds of books on grammar and all the different things just to understand what it's all about. And so I have a dictionary here, the Longman Phrasal Verbs Dictionary, over 5,000 phrasal verbs. I think if I were an English learner, I wouldn't find this all that useful.
Right.
I bought a similar book for Russian. It was a book which explained the, you know, words in Russian that have similar roots. And I find that for a while I kept it by my toilet. You know, a good place to read. But you can never remember anything. You can never remember anything that you read from those things.
No, absolutely not.
You have to learn it from context. So I open a page at random, and it's got here phrasal verb activator, something that a special feature that Longman's gives you. And so they have to put on formal or special clothes, to dress up, okay? Then it says to tart yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would never use that.
No.
And it's such a specific, first of all, only a tart is a prostitute. So it suggests some, but it's come to be, so if a woman is getting dressed up,
right,
and she's putting on makeup,
yeah,
and whatever, making herself look nice,
right,
that jokingly we say to tart yourself up.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't think that's necessary to learn. I think it's more useful if you come across that in your reading, so then you have a context.
Right.
And then if you relate it to a specific story, then it's possible you'll remember it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just read in the book to tart yourself up, you have no sense of the context. Oh, this is one of the ways of saying dress up.
Right.
So next, here's, I'm a guy, I'm 50 years old, I'm going to put a jacket on, I'm going to tart myself up. People would look at you.
Absolutely.
So there's quite a few, but some of them are good. Some of them are good, but I, as I always say, you kind of have to learn them.
Context. Your point. I mean, the point is, with any of those books, and I've bought them myself in some of the different languages that I've been learning. And yeah, as you say, when you talk about a dictionary, the minute you look something up, it sounds great. Boy, yeah, that sounds really good. You close the book, it's gone.
Right.
Completely gone.
But hopefully here in this discussion, we can create a bit of context, an episode, so that people's episodic memory can kick in.
Exactly.
And they can remember. And so here I have this page, for example, keep. Keep is a great word in terms of different ways that it's used. And it's not obvious, like, you know, you keep after. Keep after someone. Like, do you like to keep after your kids to do their homework?
You know, right.
To keep after them. But keep away is you want to keep someone away, keep back, you know, keep someone down. Keep up on something is to stay up to date.
Stay with it. Yeah.
Stay with it. So now whether these things could be learned from the dictionary or not, I don't know. I mean, the ideal situation is like Anna's situation, where she's come across words, presumably in different contexts, and she's wondering if there's a difference between yell, scream, and holler, because she's seen yell sometimes and scream sometimes, or holler or shout. And so, yeah, if I'm a learning another language and I see words that from the context seem to have similar meanings, and I want to get a sense of, you know, is there a further refinement, a further distinction of meaning, which, because I've only seen the word three times, the native speaker has seen the word 1,000 times,
right,
they know what that distinction is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can do, the ideal thing for us is not to read examples out of a dictionary, but to get some examples,
right,
from people who are encountering these.
Mm-hmm.
But on the subject of yell and holler, you were talking about an example when you were playing hockey in Italy.
Well, I just, the topic of conversation just reminded me of a coach that I had when I was playing hockey in Italy, and he was actually Slovenian, and he was a little bit nutty. He would just yell. And he would yell in a combination of Italian, Slovenian, with some English swear words mixed in, and it would just be constant. And he would be barking at the ref, the referee, he'd be barking at us, the players. Anyway, that wasn't one of my more enjoyable hockey seasons, but it certainly, the topic brings to mind this
guy. So you say that he was yelling at the referee, hollering at the referee, shouting at the referee, screaming at the referee, or all of the above.
And, in fact, shrieking at the referee or at his own players. Yeah, I would say he did all of those.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was, and didn't know all that much about hockey, which was even worse. So, in general, yeah, that brings to mind that guy. Although, I mean, I had certainly had lots of hockey coaches that did a lot of yelling.
Asiago is a nice town too.
Oh, Asiago was great.
Italy,
yeah.
Italy is, for those people who haven't been to Italy, it's a lovely country, lovely food, lovely old cities and pleasant countryside.
The atmosphere is just kind of lighter, just kind of fun, and yeah, we had a great time in Asiago.
I remember once, I went several times, and once the weather was fairly warm, I don't know if it was the spring or the autumn, and I was there with Eric, my older son, Mark's older brother, and no, the first time Eric wasn't there, but I went jogging, and so I went jogging and I came back via the cemetery,
right?
And unbeknownst to me, at 5 o'clock every evening at the cemetery, the loudspeakers blare out the national anthem. So I was just running along.
Well, they had had some big battle up there.
That's what it was.
Italy, between Italy and Austria.
Well,
can't
in the
remember.
First World War,
first
World War. Well, yeah. Italy would have fought on the same side as Austria.
Okay.
Were they not? I'm trying to remember. Weren't they part of the Axis?
I guess they were.
Fighting the Russians? I can't remember.
Right. At any rate, there was a big cemetery
up there.
Or maybe
it was
during
the War
then.
Of Independence against the Austrians.
Maybe.
I don't know. No, I guess they were fighting against the Austrians in the First World War.
Yeah, you know what? I can't remember now.
My history anymore. I think they were on the winning side. That's why they got Trieste, much to the annoyance of the Yugoslavs. Trieste and Fiume. Anyway, so then great, all of a sudden this loudspeaker blares the national anthem. And I was quite, I liked it after a while. I would like to go jogging and then, you know, jogging past the cemetery, and then the national anthem comes on in this beautiful hillside town.
Twice a day, I think. It came on in the morning, too, didn't it? Or was it just at night? I can't remember, but yeah.
But the other time we were there with Eric in the winter, and we went cross-country skiing, and there was a tremendous trail. It's about 30 kilometers long. And then there's little stations, sort of alpine little huts that you can stop in to get away from the cold, although when you're cross-country skiing, that's not an issue. You're pretty warm.
Right.
And they had water there, and then we just can. There was a whole circuit, I think. I can't remember. It was 20 or 30 kilometers.
Wow.
But we did it. It was just phenomenal. Really, really nice.
Yeah, no, I never got to do any of those activities. I was always playing hockey there, but yeah, that does sound pretty neat. I mean, it was nice up there.
Oh, it's beautiful. And I remember once we were again with Eric and with my wife, with your mother, and we visited this town in it was Bressanone,
right?
Also known as Brixen, which is in the German-speaking part of Italy,
right?
And we had booked, because we were coming down from Austria or somewhere, so we had booked a hotel on the internet. They had internet in those days. And we didn't, but it was an expensive hotel. And we got there and we kind of found it was, we don't like staying in these hoity-toity hotels.
Right.
And so we drove in there and we got some dirty looks because we weren't dressed, you know, quite the way
we should be.
We got some dirty looks. And so then we went for a walk in this old town, lovely, lovely town. And we found a hotel that was just as good for half the price.
Right.
So, no, I got it wrong. We had checked into the hotel. We were dressed in somewhat grubby, not grubby, but ski clothes.
Right.
We went out for a walk, and all the people there had their fancy clothes on. They'd been out shopping.
Which
know,
is what
their,
you do in Italy.
Yeah, they had their Loden coats. And
right.
Elegant and this, that. And we were staying at the hotel, and this lady came in. The manageress came to us and said, are you staying here? Well, you know, like, the assumption is, we're not.
Right.
So why are you loitering in my lobby? And so, anyway, my wife gave her some appropriately unfriendly comments. And then we went
out.
Your
comment was, not for long.
That's right, not for long. So then we went out and found a cheaper hotel and we moved.
Right.
Yeah. No, that was, we were kind of, I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Assuming that you're not staying here. Like, So what? Like, even if I'm not staying here, I didn't say a sign out. See a sign outside saying no bums allowed or no foreigners allowed or something, you know? You know? Are you staying here? Anyway, that was
Yeah.
But that whole area is just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And remember when we had a flat tire in Bolzano?
Was it a flat tire?
One of the issues was a flat tire. Or the car.
The car wouldn't start because there was a big blizzard, and my car had no snow tires.
That's what it was.
It was just a beater that I had there. It had no snow tires, so we had to get chains, but it was over Christmas or New Year's or everything was closed. I can't remember. Another story.
Do you remember the time we were in Bolzano having dinner? Were you there with us?
And the Christmas tree
caught
lit
fire?
The curtains on fire, or the Christmas tree lit
Christmas
on fire.
Tree, because they have this lovely custom
in
the German-speaking countries that they put candles on the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
But the Christmas tree is inside this heated room for day after day, so it's pretty dry.
Well, yeah. I mean, so it's impossible to keep a Christmas tree wet. Well, I mean, when you have a live one, you're refilling it with water all the time, and it doesn't take long before
it's... So the tree caught fire, the curtains caught fire, the restaurant filled with smoke. We took out of there, took off out of the restaurant as fast as we could
get
out.
That's for sure.
Anyway,
that's...
Only a few of the many. But we didn't holler, we didn't shout, we didn't scream.
No.
We just got out.
That's right.
And I think we had some sparks of whatever on our coats.
We did, actually. The coats were kind of wrecked.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was anything we could do about it. And we couldn't find... It was Christmas Eve.
Right.
We couldn't find another place to eat. I think we ended up going to a Chinese restaurant.
Which one can find in every single town in the world.
I know.
Is there a place in the world that has no Chinese restaurant?
I know.
Anyway.
Well, with that, we've reached the end. That's probably about the perfect length for someone's commute.
We wandered a little bit on different subjects.
Yeah.
But we do really appreciate people telling us what words or phrases or even subjects they want us to talk about, because it's hard for us to know exactly what people are interested to hear about.
Exactly. So we'll keep looking for your feedback, and we'll talk to you next time.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.